Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Andrew P. Shea. Andy, we're finally here. It's Michigan week and it's time to play some football.
Yes, it's time for the Wolverines. And just as a reminder, Penn State fans, 418. 418. You should not forget that number as you get ready for this week's game and get, you know, excited about what the prospect of the Nittany Lions playing at noon against the Wolverines on Saturday, because that's how many rushing yards Michigan had last year in this game. And if that isn't something that James Franklin and his coaching staff aren't preaching all week, somebody get them that number and tell them to start screaming it from the top of their lungs, because Penn State's going to need some motivation. Michigan's got theirs. And I think that could be a very big motivator for Penn State.
Well, I think Manny Diaz has been hammering that one home probably since the day after that game. Our colleague Landon Tengwall, we were talking about that, and last week he was talking about how going into the Maryland game, Manny Diaz, he was sure, was reminding them of those big plays and those long drives against Indiana. I have no doubt he's doing the same thing here this week, telling them about that performance last year. Andy, I want to start our preview for this game this way. Several weeks ago, you used the expression, this Penn State is fortunate they get two bites of the apple. The first bite against Ohio State was quite sour. But you're right, though, aren't you? They get a second shot at this.
They get a second shot at this. I mean, they not many teams get a legitimate second bite at the apple. You know, you're playing another top 25 team, or you've got another, you know, top 10 versus top 15. You can add some quality to your schedule. This is a legit college football playoff potential second bite. And it's hard to get one. You generally don't get two. And Penn State is going to get a second. They're going to get a second bite of the apple. And yes, we know what the first one looked like. This one has to look drastically different. That's all I know.
It really does. And don't you get the feeling for this game that it's so much bigger than the difference between finishing the season 11-1 and 10-2?
Yeah, I think that's a valid point, because I still think 11-1 will exceed sort of expectations. Because then that means you beat one of the two, right? You either beat Ohio State or Michigan. 10-2 was the basement expectation, right? Like, this is a good team. We know it's a good team. If they beat everybody else and play good football but lose to Michigan and Ohio State, they'll still be 10-2. 10-2 was the least acceptable. It was the last donut in the box, Jimmy. 10-2 is the last donut in the box. It's not bad. But you don't want to eat the last stone in the box. 11-1 would be a big difference. You're exactly right. It would be a big difference for Penn State, even though it's just one win, because 11-1 is exceeding expectations, and 10-2 is same as it ever was, exactly what we thought from a James Franklin coach team. Beat everybody and can't beat Michigan and Ohio State.
And Andy, from the national perspective, I want to read a quote from you from a national writer making his picks for these games. And he has, you know, Michigan and Penn State playing. He has Michigan winning and beating the spread. He gives a couple of the reasons why Penn State has an opportunity. For Michigan, it's their first test. Penn State is at home. But he finishes his paragraph with this. But there's also this. Penn State just doesn't win games like this. Is that James Franklin's bottom line?
It's based in fact, Jimmy. That's not even an opinion of him saying that. I mean, he's 1-16 versus top 15 ranked teams, I believe. Top 10 ranked teams. James is like 1-something when a team is ranked.
Let me give you the stats as I have him. James Franklin is 3-16 against top 10 teams.
There you go.
However, since 2016, when they won the Big Ten championship,
correct,
they are 1-11 in that's top it. 10 matchups, meaning Penn State was a top 10 ranked team also.
Yeah, that's all you need to know, Jimmy. That is a complete fact. Penn State does not win games like this. They generally, it is the exception. How's that, Jimmy? Let's look at it from that perspective. They're not even a 50-50 prop. It is the exception to the norm in a game like this that Penn State would come out on top under this regime. And I think the fan base kind of expects it to kind of go that way. They want Penn State to win. You want Penn State to win. You're like, I want Penn State to win one of these games. I want Penn State to win one of these games. Okay, yeah, you're going to be disappointed if they lose. But are you going to be surprised if they lose, Jimmy?
Am I going to be surprised? No.
No.
I wouldn't be. And, you know, what's funny is I've always tried to treat these, Andy, as independent events. And looking at many of these games independently, you know, the games where they were up on the road against Ohio State, double digits in the fourth quarter, you know, multiple times, and couldn't hold on. Last year at home, they have Ohio State, and they're ahead in the fourth quarter, and still they find a way to lose. You look at them as independent events, and you say, hey, Ohio State is really, really good. Losing to them is not a surprise, not that big a deal. But have we just reached the point where the numbers just say, well, it's not an individual event. This is the trend.
This is a decade worth, Jimmy. You've got a decade now of this. It is the exception for Penn State, I'm sorry, to win these games. I you watch them. There's a different reason, and there's sort of like things that crop up. And, you know, the Ohio State game this year, they were 1-16 on third down, started 0-15. It's like, well, that's our problem, and we couldn't get on the field on third down yet. Because it was a 13-6 game in the third quarter, right? Like, even going, you know, that's still a football game completely up for grabs on the road. But there just always seems to be something. You know, last year Ohio State game, you know, their defensive end wrecks a football game and literally wins, you know, takes over for Ohio State, and they win the football game. That's one player who's elite wrecking the game. This year, last year against Michigan, Penn State was actually leading in the third quarter and got, you know, ran over by a truck. So there are things that happen in each one of these games that don't correlate to each other. They just seem to show up in these kind of games when it comes to Penn State under this regime. So I think it's the expectation that they lose. They might play well, it might be a good game, and they close. But I think generally speaking, the expectation is no matter, and this is a really good Penn State team, they're going to lose. The expectation is for them to lose.
It definitely is, Andy, from that national attention. And I'm guilty, too, where I will make excuses for them. You know, I'll point out, and I did this with you, they were just awful on offense against Ohio State. But I'll say, hey, they were awful, played as bad as they possibly could on offense, and still lost to the number one team in the country on the road by only one score. If the offense just even showed up, what would have happened? The problem is, as you point out, though, it's every year it's something. I could say last year it was that defensive end on Ohio State was up against the backup right tackle,
correct,
who he destroyed. But the year before, now it was even against Iowa on the road. Penn State was ahead, was dominating when Sean Clifford got hurt. You know, so there always feels to be those excuses. James Franklin has to find a way to get by that. One of the things, one of the constants in all of this, Andy, I think has been, my take is Ohio State has always had the better quarterback. Michigan, their quarterbacks have often been that game manager. Now they have J.J. McCarthy, a better quarterback. Is Penn State now, after the game Drew Aller played last week, has he turned the corner where Penn State could now say, hey, we've got that five-star guy. We've got the quarterback who could make the difference.
Not even close, Jimmy. It's not even close. And I say that as I'm looking at the quarterback position, you know, mano a mano. If I'm looking at Drew Aller, I'm a little encouraged by the progress that was made. But I also remember that a couple weeks ago, he was there. That offense looked like it was from 1962, and he was just awful. He was awful against Ohio State, and you can't forget that. He was afraid or did not perform well or did not function well on that big stage. He melted like butter. He gets a second bite of the apple, Jimmy. This is another big stage for the big arm five-star quarterback. Here it is, right in front of you. Can you perform better? Am I encouraged? Do I think he was all the problem against Ohio State? No. It was pretty clear going against Indiana as well that they just had an inherent problem in what they were going to let him do and not do. And I feel like, that he sort of didn't give him any choice but to, will you please give me more control of this offense? And B, it's what he's wanted. I haven't seen him look as comfortable as a football player since the West Virginia game as he was last week. You know what I mean? His countenance and how he looked and how he operated and all of that. So hopefully the coaching staff just gets out of the freaking way and lets the kid play the game. There is a plan and purpose that you need, but get out of the way. He is that kind of player. You could see it. You saw it right away in West Virginia. You're like, whoa. There's a lot of it stuff going on here. And then they evaporated all in the don't throw the interception, take care of the ball, don't throw the interception, just play within the offense. Let him go. Give him the keys. Let him go. You have nothing to lose. Literally, Penn State has nothing to lose in a second bite of the apple. They should be going risk, risk, risk this week.
Andy, when we get back, I'm going to ask you about the play calling and how that will affect Drew Aller. But I think you hit it with what we saw him, how comfortable he was against Maryland, was a different quarterback than what we had seen the prior 2 weeks against Ohio State and against Indiana, of course, at home. Andy, when we get back, we will talk about that. Stay tuned.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. Trust StateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love. Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. you get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to revelxp.com for more info.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Andy, I'm Jim. We're talking Penn State versus Michigan. We spent most of the first quarter talking about Penn State, where they are, Andy. My one last question on the Penn State side before we start looking at Michigan is this. Drew Aller, one of the things when he seems to struggle, it's his fundamentals go away, his footwork goes away. It's last week we saw total confidence in that. You know, he looked solid in the pocket. And my question to you is not just on his fundamentals, that's kind of on him come game time. But how much is his effectiveness dependent on how the coaching staff calls the game?
Yeah, I think it's his job to perform what the coaching staff designates as their plan and purpose for the game. So that's his responsibility, is to make himself fit inside that box. However, at the same time, I will say you have to know the talent that you're dealing with, or, you know, you got to know who your player is, right? Like, I'm looking at Drew Aller, and I'm looking at it from a golf perspective, and he's the player. Drew Aller's a field player, right? You know what I mean, Jimmy. He's not very technical. He's not, you know, paint by numbers. He has a tremendous amount of talent, and he's very much a field player. Rhythm, you know, they matter. Cadence, you know, orchestration, that's all part of play calling. And it just seems like if he is sort of a little bit more in control of the offense, in other words, it's a little bit more centered around him than centered around, you know, the running game and sort of establishing themselves as a power football team. If it is centered on him and success or failure is completely and utterly based upon him, he seems to function very well in that environment. We're going to get you out on the move. We're going to throw the ball a little bit more. We're going to mix and match, you know, your packages and, you know, 12 and 13 and all that. You just have an understanding of what he feels like and what is most comfortable for him. And I don't think Penn State has figured that out at all, really, to a degree. It looked a little better last week, but it is still, Jimmy, incumbent upon him to execute it. And it doesn't mean he didn't like the game plan against Ohio State. It just didn't make him feel comfortable and confident. And I think as a quarterback, he's a field player.
Well, I think at the very least, he needs to find his rhythm, find some success, and then build on that. And, you know, whether it was getting past that first interception against Indiana, or I think even more so, he got the big throw, the big touchdown pass. He felt success. And I think that's what he was building on more than getting past the interception. It will be interesting to see how they play this. Until Ohio State, they were able to play the game not to lose because they were just so good defensively.
Absolutely.
And they could still get 30 points playing that way. Hopefully they learned some lessons against Ohio State that, look, we can't just go on the field and try not to lose. We have to try to win. But, Andy, let's look at this Michigan team. They've looked like the most complete team in the country. They've routed everybody they've played. The nick on their resume, though, is they haven't played anybody yet. Looking at their schedule, Andy, I think Rutgers was their best win.
Oh, Rutgers was 100%, Jimmy. That was the best opponent they played without a doubt. And that was, what, 6 weeks ago that they played Rutgers? So it's been a while. I mean, there's two sides of it for me. One is, you know, they look like this for a reason, right? And it's not all because of the tomato can schedule. But also on the other side, and this is the element of it, I mean, you can't, it's hard to find another Power 5 school among the, what, 70 Power 5 schools. It's hard to find one that's had a worse schedule. I mean, yeah, you said Rutgers, but you got Nebraska, Minnesota, Indiana, Michigan State, Purdue, they're all in there. And the kicker to me is they didn't have a Power 5 team in their non-conference league. Not one. It was East Carolina, UNLV, and Bowling Green. None of those are Power 5 schools. So has their schedule been the worst? So I look at their schedule and say, well, not about, you know, who they played and who they haven't played, and they're not, they haven't shown anything. They're still really good for a reason. They're very, very they're a very good football team for a reason, and they've been killing everybody. Here's my thing. Competitiveness. They haven't been in a competitive environment yet this season. Hardly. Barely. Almost, you know, they haven't been pushed or prodded in any way, shape, or form for 8 weeks. I don't know how you turn that switch on. I want to see that switch get turned on. I'm not saying Penn State's the better team and that's going to be the difference in the game. I'm like, I just know from the competition level that Michigan, A, has put in front of them by the Big Ten, and B, what they chose to knock over in their non-conference schedule, the competition has been severely lacking. They're really good, though, Jimmy. They're a really good team, but they have no competition. Not that they haven't played anybody. They haven't been forced to be competitive, and I have a real concern for football teams like that.
And, Andy, I think a huge part of this is going to be the fact that they're playing on the road. It's at Penn State. Now, it's not the night game.
Right.
But I think the Penn State fan base is really going to be cranked up. One of my keys is Penn State has to show something early. We can't see multiple three and outs to start this game, which will take the crowd out of it. Do something to keep the crowd in the game early. And I think that will also create that momentum for the team.
Yeah, Penn State's going to – so you've got a valid point. You know, you said no risk it, no biscuit, right? Penn State has to play complete risk it. Otherwise, they're not even going to understand what the biscuit looks like. That's just the way I feel they have to operate in this football game. Michigan is a very arrogant, confident, comfortable football team. As they should be, right? They're beating guys. The scores they posted this season, it looks like it's 1978, right? Like they're killing people. So what I want to see is Michigan, Penn State come out and put equal Michigan's arrogance and go right at them.
Okay, Andy, let's take a look. You threw a number out here to start this show. And it was right. The number of yards that Michigan rushed for against Penn State last year. What are you seeing from Penn State's defense? What does Manny Diaz do about it other than just pump his guys up and say, let's not let that happen again?
Yeah, for me, Penn State's defense, I love the back end. And eventually, I think Michigan is actually a little bit better passing team with McCarthy at quarterback than they are a pure running football team like they were a little bit more a year ago. I think the engine that powers this team isn't Blake Corum, it's the quarterback. It is incumbent upon Penn State's front seven to sort of make Michigan not be the two-headed monster it wants to be. You can't let them be having the 1-2 punch that they love, that was most comfortable for them, and the way it's been all year. They've done whatever the heck they wanted to against anybody. Make them uncomfortable. Penn State's front seven is under the gun this week. They have to play their very best football game. Their defensive front and their linebackers have to play their best and their best football all season. They need to play this week. And I'm not saying that because they've been problematic. I'm saying that because they could change this football game.
And Andy, I think part of this is they have to be disciplined. I don't want that adrenaline that they're going to come into this game make them lose their, you know, gap integrity is the new word of the or expression. Don't allow them to use one of your mistakes to gash you with a big play. Now, on the offensive side of the ball, well, just to finish up the thought on defense, I love that James Franklin says the defense has to earn the right to get a third and long and then do what they want to do in rushing the quarterback. I think that's going to be one of the keys. Do they hold them down first and second down running the ball so that that, you know, doesn't happen? But let's talk on the offensive side of the ball now for Penn State. What are their keys?
The key to this offense, well, first I think the key is make your inside running game, Catron Allen has to touch the ball the most. I mean, it's just clear now after this much time, in between the tackles, he's the stronger back. The sort of big blows in the running game aren't going to happen. They haven't materialized this year. So you have to use Singleton when you sort of, you have to mix and match a little differently rather than an equal load. Because I think Catron Allen's earned and showed that those tougher yards inside the tackle, not that Singleton can't do it. Allen's just better at it, right? That's all I would say. But I also think you just have to hand this game to Drew Aller. They're at a huge disadvantage at the wide receiver position. They're just not as good as Michigan. They don't have much talent out there. They have really good tight ends. They're their second and third receivers. Let him figure it out on the fly and let him be the one that is responsible for sink or swim. Don't let him be in the middle. Let him be on the top end. Let him be the one that you're like, okay, we are going to ride this game with Drew Aller. We're going to win sink or swim with Drew Aller. Let that be known from the very first series, Jimmy. That is really important to me.
And I guess this is me kind of agreeing with that, Andy, is my take is, and I've been saying this for a long time, throw the ball to set up the run, not run the ball to set up the throw.
Right,
and
right.
I think that will be the better process. And it doesn't mean you're not running the ball. It just means, hey, maybe on first down, you throw the ball a short pass, but you're picking up 6 or 7 yards passing the ball. Second and three, now we can do what we want. All right, it's that time, Andy. Prediction time.
So I think first and second down for both teams on both – I think first and second down are gonna set the table for this football game. If Penn State can't put Michigan's defense in uncomfortable spots on first and second down, and they stay right where, you know, J.J. McCarthy and the offense wants to be on the chains, they're not going to have to force him to risk it because he's a risk taker and he'll make mistakes. But if he doesn't have to, he won't. They're going to be in great shape if they sit around and do it. That's where Penn State's defense has to change the game. On the other side of the ball, you know about it. 1 for 16, average yards to go on is 7.5. Do whatever the heck you have to do to not be in that situation. My final score, Michigan 24, Penn State 10. And my whole prediction is McCarthy throws for 300 yards and 3 touchdowns. He's the difference. Jimmy, I think he's the difference maker.
All right. Very good, Andy. That is it for this segment. Coming up, quarter three, we got your questions. We're going to ask Andy. You want to stay tuned for that.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. Trust StateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love. Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number three. We all know what that means. It's time to ask Andy. We're going to take your questions. We're going to ask Andy. And at the end of the segment, Andy will pick out the best question and they will win the prize pack from 409tailgateclub.com. All the great barbecue stuff, including their latest coffee barbecue rubs. And if you want to send a question to Andy, really easy. Just download our app, Keystone Sports. That's Keystone Sports. That's it. You'll download the app. You'll see the Ask Andy and Ask T. Frank button, and away you go. All right, here we go, Andy. We'll start with Matt in Massachusetts, who says, Jim and Andy, I love it when they include me in the question.
I know.
All right, it's a sign of respect. It's like they want to hear from me also. Let's go with Matt, though. He says, after last year's loss to Michigan, are all eyes on Manny Diaz? What are you looking for in him on Saturday?
Okay, Matt. Yes, I think all eyes. No, all eyes aren't on Manny Diaz because that was the exception, right? Like, I kind of have a theory about maybe why some of that happened, but it has to do. It could be a sign of things to come. Let's just put it that way, using the word sign as a potential. But that hasn't happened since or didn't happen prior. So it's a very odd situation. I do think it is I think there is a little heat on Manny Diaz to get his front seven. Like I said in the last quarter, I think Penn State's front seven cannot let Michigan on first and second downs be in there comfortable down in distance where McCarthy can either ying or yang. And they need to be a little bit uncomfortable because they haven't played anybody that's made them uncomfortable. Penn State's defense can do that. And I think getting on first and second down and making them do that, that is where Manny Diaz's team is under the spotlight. Their secondary, solid, strong secondary, front seven has to sort of impact the game early and make Michigan uncomfortable in terms of down and distance in order to sort of try and knock them off their spot a little bit because nobody's even wobbled them on their spot this season.
Okay, let's move on to Ed in Binghamton. And by the way, the initial question about all eyes on Manny Diaz, I think more eyes are on James Franklin. That's just the way it is. James Franklin has that, you know, 1-10 collar against Ohio State and the rest of the numbers that we alluded to. Let's go to Ed in Binghamton, who says, was Drew Aller's performance last week against Maryland truly his breakout game? And if so, what do you attribute it to? Play calling, getting past his first interception, or simply him maturing into the job?
That's a really good question, Ed. So I think the interception thing was more of a ball and chain that I think he sort of took that and wore it himself. I think one of the best things he did was throw that interception. But it was his response to that interception. And actually, Indiana had pushed Penn State into a corner. Yes, the score was tied and they were not behind. But Penn State was pushed into a corner late in that game that, you know what? It's tied. Why not take a chance? Why not give this kid a chance and see how he responds to throwing an interception and making his first mistake? Look at what the response was. It felt like in Maryland game last week, Ed, that they just sort of got out of his way and handed him the keys to this offense a little bit more. That's just what it looked like to me. It looked like a very they had a plan and purpose. It still wasn't very crystal clear, but you could definitely tell that they were going to use Drew Aller as more of an asset instead of being a complementary piece. How's that? He wasn't a complementary piece. He was the asset of which the offense is going to function under, and that's what it looked like. So I don't think it was him maturing into the job. I just think it was an opportunity to take what they want to do with him week to week to the next level. And he, look at how he performed. I've been dying to see him play like that.
Yeah, I think his confidence is more about that deep pass, as I said, than it was the interception. But to your point, Andy, you're right. He didn't let the interception affect him negatively. He responded very well to that. Let's go to Henry in Quakertown, who said, is it fair to criticize James Franklin for not winning the, and he has it in quotes, big games? Is 10-2 and a bowl win really a disappointment?
No, 10-2. No, Henry, it's a good point. 10-2 is not a disappointing season. You never win 10 college football games in the modern era and say you are disappointed. I think for this particular team, 10 wins was the lowest common denominator expectation. So I think a 10-2 and going to a New Year's Six bowl game, possibly, for Penn State would be an acceptable disappointment. In other words, it's exactly what we thought it would be, despite all the promise of it being a, you know, we've closed the gap, a better, you know, more prepared to compete, better equipped to play in these big games. When they say that, they just literally mean better equipped to play Michigan and Ohio State, literally, but better equipped to be in those. All it meant was that that sort of bill of goods they sold you wasn't exactly true. And still, a really good football team, which they are, and 10 wins is never a disappointment. It is the lowest common denominator in expectation, but it should never be a disappointment.
And expectations set whether it's going to be, you know, a disappointment or not. And I'd like to make that comparison to Ohio State, where 11-1 for them is a disappointment, losing to Michigan. And speaking of, you know, two bites at the apple, talk about Ohio State last year. They got the second bite of the apple by going to the playoffs, despite that losing to Michigan. And they had Georgia, the eventual national champion, right down to the buzzer, miss a field goal. And you know what? That was a major disappointment for Ohio State fans. So, you know, it's that standard. To James Franklin's credit, he has set 10 wins, double-digit wins, as the standard. Now the fan base wants more. He needs to deliver that, and this weekend is his opportunity. All right. Andy, next up is Joe from Elizabeth, and I'm just going to hold the question up to you so you can see how long the question is from Joe. I'm going to shorten it, though, because but we're putting it out here because he starts with, Jim and Andy, love your show. Thank you, Joe. I'm an avid listener and really like your insight on Penn State football. It's great that the team played so well against Maryland and how enjoyable it was to see them rise from the ashes and dominate as well as they did. He then tells us all about the tiebreaker situation, but here was his question, Andy. What are the keys for us to beat Michigan, and how hopeful should Penn State fans be to win the Big Ten and make the playoffs?
I don't think you should be hopeful at all, because it creates a false narrative. If you think about that even before the Michigan game, maybe you could start thinking about that after the Michigan game if you win the game, but I don't think you can even think about that right now. I think the keys to Michigan are everything that Penn State didn't face last week against Maryland. Maryland has no strength. Maryland's weak in the trenches, right? They have a good quarterback. They've got athletes on the outside. Their edges aren't bad on defense. They have good receivers, et cetera. They have good running backs. In the trenches, they are atrocious. Michigan kind of has all of that. They've got good guys on the outside, good backs, good receivers. And, oh, by the way, the difference is their trenches are not atrocious. They are outstanding. They are going for the third straight year of winning the best overall offensive line in college football. They're on their way to doing it again. They got some transfer portal guys in the right spots. The trenches are going to be monumentally important in this game.
Okay, I'm going to contradict you a little bit here, and I'm going to say to Joe, hope is a good thing, Joe. Hope is a good thing. And you know what? At home, against the Wolverines, but they're at home. I think that's a huge, huge difference. Okay, Steve from Columbia says, Andy and Jim, should the winner of the Big Ten East, hopefully our Nittany Lions, refuse to play in the Big Ten championship game? No good could come of it, from it. Win, who cares? Lose, out of playoff, or win and have a couple key players get hurt, particularly if you play against those play-to-the-whistle, dirty Iowa Hawkeyes.
Huh. I don't think conference teams can refuse going to the conference game, but it's a valid point because literally, I mean, we talk about Michigan's schedule, right? And how, you know, they really haven't played anybody. Well, whoever comes out of the Big Ten East and goes to the Big Ten championship game, that's no different than any team that Michigan's played already. I mean, it really isn't. It doesn't matter who it is. It's not even viewed as a competitive game. It's not viewed as a game that helps them in any way, shape, or form. So I don't think you can refuse it, but it's not a game for them. It's not a game that helps anybody.
You can't refuse it, number one. Number two, you don't want to take the opportunity for a championship away from your players. Conference championship traditionally doesn't mean as much to Penn State, but it still means something. It's a trophy in the trophy case. And you would not be looked at upon favorably if you chose not to play that game. But to his point, you go to those games, and even like a year ago, Ohio State had one loss, didn't go to the championship game, didn't risk a second loss, and they made the playoffs. This year, I think there'll be multiple one-loss teams, and they'll need to be tiebreakers. So if it comes out as a three-way tie in the Big Ten East, I think it will be that team that's designated with the tiebreaker, goes to the conference championship game and wins it. They will be the choice to make the playoffs. I know we Penn State fans are always scared. Well, could we go there, have one loss, and not get the playoff bid? I don't think there's any way the committee can do that. Andy, we need a winner.
I'm going to go with Ed in Binghamton asking about Drew Aller and Next Level. I think Drew Aller has found something. Good question, Ed. Thank you very much.
All right. Ed is our winner. Stick around. Quarter number four. We have Sean Golden. He's going to make his picks for the weekend. Andy, we're going to say goodbye to you. You know what? Enjoy the weekend, even though you picked those stinking Wolverines to win the game. Stay tuned for Sean and his picks coming up right after this.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, StateCollege.com. TrustStateCollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love. Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is time for Sean's Take with Sean Gold. Sean takes a look at the upcoming games in the college football world. And Sean, we got another nice schedule this week, don't we?
Oh, we have some great games. It's at that point of the year where everything matters extra right now. With college football playoff implications, bowl game implications on the line, it's a good time for college football.
It is. It's a great time. And you, of course, every week you send me your five games. We go through them. I don't know what your picks are until we do the show. But... you are unaware of this. I'm going to throw a curveball at you today and see how you like this. I decided while I was going over the point spreads, I found what I thought was a really intriguing game, kind of off the beaten path. I am going to throw that one at you, a mystery game, okay? We'll do that at the end of the segment. So are you ready for that?
I guess I better be ready for it. I'm a little nervous now.
It's coming at you whether you like it or not, Sean, but I think you will be intrigued by it. You may not like having to make a pick, but you will be intrigued with it. All right, let's go to your set of five games. Always at the top of the list, we have those Penn State Nittany Lions. They are home to Michigan, and right now Michigan is a 4.5-point favorite. This one is fascinating, Sean, because I think it started out at like 7 points when it first came out. And wasn't this the game you and I off the air last week had a little bit of a discussion as to what we thought the point spread would be?
We did, and it was a little bit bigger than what it is right now. So we have had a ton of line movement. And I promise you, everything I'm going to say right now is 100% true. I had a dream last night that I picked Michigan to cover the spread right here on the show. And then Penn State ended up winning the game by 7 in my dream. So then in the dream, the next week, we were talking about how I was wrong and how Michigan lost to Penn State and how Penn State really put themselves in contention for the college football playoffs. So that was the dream I had. And I'm going to say what I think is going to happen, and that would be Michigan winning and covering the spread. But I do hope that my dream turns into reality, and next week we're talking about how I was wrong about this game and how Penn State has set themselves up for a college football playoff appearance.
So what you're saying is you're hoping that your conscious self is wrong and your subconscious sleeping person is correct, but you have Michigan. And what do you think is going to be the key to this game for Michigan to win?
You know, I think that Michigan has an underrated passing attack. I think a lot of times when we think about them, we think they're going to run the ball, play good defense. But J.J. McCarthy is in the Heisman conversation for a reason. And I think this may come down to the fact that Michigan can produce more explosive plays than Penn State can. And that's why I think that Michigan will indeed cover this line.
And I do think that's the difference, the quarterback between Michigan the last couple of years and Michigan previously, as we know them, that they have a quarterback who could actually win games for them. All right, let's go to the Pac-12. Let's take a look at Utah at Washington. And what's interesting is probably at the beginning of the year, this may have been a very different spread. Two teams going different directions. Washington is actually a 9.5-point favorite at home against Utah.
Yeah, it is interesting because after beating USC, we saw Utah get manhandled by Oregon, which makes this game so interesting to me. Obviously, Washington beat Oregon, so the logic there would be that Washington should have similar success against Utah this week. But I will say, Oregon and Washington have two different styles of play, and I'm inclined to say Oregon matched up a lot better against Utah than Washington does. So I think this game is going to be in Washington's favor. I do think Utah can keep it close, and I'll go with the Utes against the spread to have a good week.
There you go. That would be interesting. And if they could pull off that upset, again, you and I were talking before we got on the air, and what a mess it is at the top. So many one-loss teams, and how are they going to handle this come playoff time? My take is we always talk like that around this time of the college football season, and then things have a way of just clearing themselves up, an upset that here or upset there, and all of a sudden you get teams eliminated. So let's stay out in the West Coast, mentioning a couple teams that you talked about. USC. USC is at Oregon, and talk about your star having fallen. That is USC. And believe it or not, they are a 15-point underdog at Oregon.
Yeah, I think Oregon is college football playoff good. I think I'm higher on them than some other people are. And I think they'll end up finding themselves into the playoffs. But I will say this is a very interesting USC team right now. Obviously, the Washington loss was killer, and it takes USC out of Pac-12 championship contention. So theoretically, USC doesn't have that much to play for right now. But I think that's what makes them so dangerous this week. The Trojans would love nothing more than to knock Oregon out and crush their playoff dreams. That is USC's season now. It has turned from trying to get to a Pac-12 championship to trying to ruin your rival's season. So USC made some changes on defense. They let go of their defensive coordinator. Maybe they rally around that a little bit and step up on that side of the ball. And it is a big spread, and we do still know that USC has a legitimate offense. And so I think Oregon wins this game. I'll go with USC to cover.
All right, another underdog, another big underdog in the Pac-12 conference. I think it should also be noted here on that game, Sean, the over-under is 73 points. That is a big, big number. All right, let's go down to the Southeast Conference, and a big one is Ole Miss at Georgia. We all know Ole Miss is a one-loss team, still with dreams to, you know, win a Southeast Conference championship. Everything for them is on this game. If they could somehow upset Georgia at Georgia, and the Bulldogs are a 10.5-point favorite in that one.
This game is wild to me because for as good as Ole Miss is, I don't think a lot of people know anything about them. They're a very quiet top 10 team in the country. We have not seen headlines about them. No one really knows they're that good, but I will say they have a legitimate offense. They're 12th in the country in total yards, 14th in points per game, and this is a legitimate upset week for them where they can pull off the big upset and get that national recognition that they're seeking to put themselves on the map. Georgia, on the other hand, continues to slightly underperform, in my opinion. I thought last week against Missouri was a great chance for them to shut up the critics, say, hey, we should be the number one team in the country. There's a reason we've gone back-to-back national championships. And they didn't really do that. It was 10-10 at halftime. It was 24-21 at one point in the fourth quarter before they eventually won by 9. But what I do have to say about this game is I find it hard to think Georgia doesn't have some blowout potential this weekend. Whether or not that happens, we'll find that out on Saturday. But I do think there is a decent chance that Georgia at home could blow out Ole Miss and really put themselves back into, yeah, look, we are Georgia. Stop messing around with us. We're here to stay. So I don't know if it'll be that blowout or not, but I do think that the Dogs will cover this spread.
Okay, so we're not going to go with the big underdog in that one. And it's interesting also, Georgia, obviously, and they deserve, I guess, the benefit of the doubt as back-to-back national champions. The other aspect with them is I'm not sure that they really get tested with the schedule. Now, Ole Miss, good team, as you mentioned, currently ranked in the top 10, but we never see them play, say, in Alabama in the regular season. And that is being held off for, you know, the conference championship game. So we may need to wait until then to find out if they're for real. And interestingly enough, I kind of feel the same way about Alabama. You know, we all wanted to kill them early in the season. They lost to Texas. They had some sluggish games. But here they are. They control their own destiny. They're unbeaten in the Southeast Conference. And you know what? They roll through and beat Georgia in the conference championship game. They are probably a playoff team. Let's stay in the Southeast Conference. You mentioned Missouri playing Georgia tough last week. This week, Missouri hosts Tennessee. And this is one of those games. I don't think either team is going to be in the playoffs, but this is kind of that game of who's next in the Southeast Conference, at least in the East Division. Who's next after Georgia? So it's Tennessee at Missouri. Tennessee is a 1.5 favorite in that one.
Yeah, as you mentioned, it's not a game for college football playoff implications, but I do think the winner of this could find themselves in a New Year's Six Bowl, which is a big deal for both of these programs. I think they're both very evenly matched, and they've both been semi-battle tested thus far this year. Tennessee's offense is a little more explosive than Missouri's, but Missouri's looked the part, and as I mentioned, they gave Georgia a realistic run for their money. So I think this game comes down to it being in Missouri. If it was in Tennessee, I'd likely roll with the Vols, but being at Missouri, I'm going to rock with the Tigers.
That's an interesting pick, and I think it'll be also interesting, how will Missouri play a week after that game against Georgia? We all see, you know, when Penn State plays Ohio State, there always seems to be the hangover the following week. Is there the possibility of that for the Tigers? We shall see. Obviously, you don't think so. Okay, we went through our five games. Now, I left time for our bonus game. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready. Let's hear it.
It is the Rutgers Scarlet Knights at the Iowa Hawkeyes. Iowa at home is only a 1-point favorite against Rutgers. Rutgers, who at best is the fourth best team in the East Division of the Big Ten. Iowa looking to win the Big Ten West. But you're allowed to make your pick on that spread, that minus one. But also, the over-under in this game, Sean, is 29, okay? That's why earlier I mentioned the 73 as the over-under with USC and Oregon. So I want to hear it. Rutgers at Iowa. Iowa's a favorite by a point, and the over-under 29. Who do you got?
Well, that is crazy. Over-under 29 in college football is wild to me. I think if you asked me this earlier in the season, I would have said Rutgers. They started off the year looking good. I think they're running out of steam a little bit. I think Iowa's experience of winning that side of the Big Ten will come into play at home for this game. So while I don't think Iowa is a great program by any means this year, I will give them the upper hand at home with the experience of the program. For the over-under, we might go with the under on this one. There's not going to be a lot of scoring. 13-10 wouldn't surprise me in this game.
First one to double figures wins. All right, that is it for Sean's take. Thank you all for joining us. Make sure you join us again next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Hey guys, this is Andrew from 409 Tailgate Club, here to talk to you about our new coffee barbecue dry rub set. Over the years, we've developed some great tailgate sauces and barbecue dry rubs, but our new coffee rubs are totally unique spice blends, low in sodium, and feature Happy Valley's finest coffee, W.C. Clark's, roasted right in the cheese shop in downtown State College. So head on over to 409tailgateclub.com, grab yourself some coffee rubs, and remember, always tailgate with honor. We are.
StateCollege.com is your one-stop source for news, sports, opinion, entertainment, and community events. Over a decade of experience covering the Nittany Lions from reporter Ben Jones. Lively commentary from columnist Mike Poorman and others. Local perspective, local expertise, local information from Penn State's hometown website, statecollege.com. Trust statecollege.com for daily coverage of the school, team, and place you love. Are you ready to elevate your game day experience? Then it's time for turnkey tailgating with Revel XP. You get to tailgate close to Beaver Stadium with our exclusive area next to the soccer field. Revel XP will provide the tent, the chairs, table, even the cooler and ice. We even partner with local food and beverage providers to cater your tailgate event. As someone has enjoyed tailgating with Revel XP, I know you're going to love it. Go to RevelXP.com for more info.